From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Reverend Jesse Jackson continues to apologize for comments he made about Barack Obama. And after their girls joined Senator and Mrs. Obama for an interview with Access Hollywood, the senator says he won't put his kids in the media spotlight again. So why does he have regrets? For more, we have Chicago Tribune columnist Clarence Page and radio talk show host Troy Johnson of The Troy Johnson Show in Baltimore, Maryland. Hi, gentlemen.
Hello, Farai.
So on Wednesday, Troy, Reverend Jesse Jackson made big headlines for comments he made about Barack Obama. He thought the microphone was turned off, and he whispered that, quote, Barack's been talking down to black people, and continued with a crude anatomical comment. Yesterday, we played an interview we did with Jackson right as the tape was becoming public. Here's a little bit about what he said.
I do not want a sound bite out of context to interrupt a broader conversation, a very positive message he has going to our nation. When I said that some of the messages aimed at the black church could be considered talking down the blacks, my appeal really was the moral content of the message, to not only deal with the personal and moral responsibility of black males, but to deal with the collective moral responsibility of government and the public policy.
Troy, you're in my hometown of Baltimore. I never get tired of saying that. What are folks saying to you on your show? I mean, how are people reacting? How do they see these comments by the Reverend? And do they hold Senator Obama responsible for perhaps pandering to interests outside of the black community?
I think, you know, you want when a situation like this happens, you definitely want to analyze, well, OK, what did Jesse Jackson say within that soundbite? But I think, you know, let's put the context up first. I think he was kind of trash talking off mic, which I was on mic, which you never, ever, ever, if you're out there listening, please make sure the microphone is off before you make some crazy statements.
Walk away from the microphone. That's my advice.
There's plenty of room away from a microphone. I think what Jesse was doing is kind of like the old guard civil rights movement, African-American leadership, and Barack Obama as the new young upstart kid. I think there's a sense of letting him know, hey, you need to keep these things in check. And we're stewarding you through this situation. And that's not really the case. You know, Barack Obama has gone further and farther than even a Jesse Jackson as a presidential candidate. So we're on new terra firma.
Let me get Clarence in here.
Yeah.
Clarence, you know, Jackson's comments were caught during this break on a show called Fox and Friends, and then they were played Wednesday on the O'Reilly Factor. Later in an interview with you, Bill O'Reilly revealed that Fox had more of Jackson's comments on tape, and the network said the rest of the comments were even worse. So do you have any idea what else Reverend Jackson said, and if Fox is going to eventually play it, and if so, when?
No, I don't. In fact, I wasn't even given a transcript of the exact remarks before we went on the air, contrary to what O'Reilly said. They were playing their cards so close to the vest. Frankly, I think if they had anything hotter than what they aired, they would be airing it now. O'Reilly's an old-time journalist before he became a Fox superstar. And, you know, you go with the best stuff you've got. So I personally don't think they've got anything else that matches his cutting remarks, as one of our Tribune headlines put it.
Clarence first, and then Troy. What does this say about the dialogue about black discourse in America? What I mean by that is we're all journalists and folks who are in the media, and there are always many media worlds. There's the sort of inside baseball political world of, you know, people who talk about politics. There's general news. There's black-oriented news. And at this point, what I've noticed is that a lot of African-American discourse is leaking over, understandably, into general media. Do people really kind of really understand in a general audience, Clarence? Do you think people who are not black and who are not kind of generally plugged into black issues, Do they understand kind of the power struggle that's going on here? Or?
No, I don't think they do, and I think they're learning. And I don't think black folks have really come to grips with it because we didn't have to. As my good friend Jack White wrote in TheRoot.com, we now have the prospect of actually being able to fix this mess rather than just complain about it after years, meaning to actually make change in America. You know, you have an African-American in the White House who came from the streets and knows of these problems. That's a whole different debate than what we've had in the past. So I think, we in the black community have been very tolerant and very supportive of our leaders, old and new. It's the media eye that is focused on one leader at a time, and I think that really rankles Reverend Jackson. He's not used to being out of the spotlight.
Troy, do you think that this is a case of ego, or is this a case where Reverend Jackson has made some legitimate points, perhaps not in the most diplomatic way?
I think this is I think there's a bit of an ego bruising. I think it's interesting. Jesse Jackson claims to have, you know, thrown his support behind the Obama campaign, but I think he did it with a discerning eye. I think he did it at some distance for some time now. And I think that, you know, they've obviously crossed paths long before Senator Obama was pushed to the forefront of politics in this election cycle. But I think, you know, the point about, you know, responsibility with black fathers and in the community is I think Obama's comments were similar to what Bill Cosby had to say. And I don't really think that Jesse's point in that regard, I don't think that Obama was talking down to black people. I think he was pointing out something that's been pointed out by many other people. It's not what we want to hear all the time, but it's the truth.
Before we leave this topic and move on, I'm just curious at this point, just briefly, give me a sense of how this election rates and ranks, Clarence, in terms of the most fun you've had covering an election and the most unexpected twists and turns.
Well, I got into this business as a teenager in the early 60s because I want to be an eyewitness to history. And this is the kind of thing I've been living for. You know, back in the early 60s, we saw the change that TV was beginning to make. Now today, we see a real national conversation happening on race. And that means all of this this stuff, these gaffes, these various Sister Soldier episodes, et cetera, are being played out in this national conversation of the media, including this radio network and all the other media that we have. And I think I see a social change going on similar to that which happened in the 60s, and I hope to be able to witness as much of it as I can.
Troy?
I am so excited I can't stand it. I think it's quite interesting. I remember being a young kid watching Ronald Reagan campaign. I think it was probably the Republican National Convention. And I was excited, not that I'm a Republican, but I happen to be excited about the process, and I have been ever since. This is probably the longest presidential election cycle that we've had. I think people are more engaged than they ever have been. And we've got a lot of work to do when you think about only, you know, roughly half of the American population votes. There are a lot of people that are plugged in, but there's still a lot of people that aren't. And I'm hoping that we get to the point where we do have a general sense that everybody is engaged in the process. And I think we'll have a better government and we'll elect the right people.
I'm going to move on to another political topic. Over the holiday weekend, Obama's daughters, Malia and Sasha, ages 10 and 7, slipped into the media spotlight with an interview with Access Hollywood.
This is what you do, Daddy. You,
uh-oh.
When you, it's not that bad,
I'll
but when
it.
You come home, you know, you have your big, gigantic bag and you leave it in the mudroom. Sometimes I trip over it.
Yeah, you leave
yeah,
your bag.
I do trip
yeah,
over
yeah.
everything,
right,
and it's heavy.
Pile on Daddy. Anyway, shortly afterwards, Obama said he regretted letting his daughters be interviewed. Let's take a quick listen to him on the Today Show with Matt Lauer.
I think that we got carried away in the moment. We were having a birthday party and everybody was laughing and suddenly this thing cropped up and I didn't catch it quickly enough. And I was surprised by the attention it received.
So if you had
well.
To do so, it over again?
Yeah, we wouldn't do it again and we won't be doing it again.
Is that a smart move, Clarence? I mean, you know, it's like there's nothing cuter than little kids, and their kids are awfully cute. So is it good to say we're not going to bring them back on? And why would he even have regrets?
there's two levels here of a response. For one, as a father, I've learned from Obama, never let my family on national TV have a chance before I could shut any of them up to put all of our business in the street, right? Number two, we've seen many candidates. Kids are really a special thing with political candidates. We don't have time to do all the anecdotes, but look what happened with Chelsea Clinton. This year, for the first time, she spoke in public, and even when she was campaigning with or for her mom, she wouldn't talk to the press, and that got kind of awkward. But this is how protective families can be of their kids, even a fully grown kid like Chelsea Clinton. I think this is an area of privacy that candidates are best left to keep, and I think the public goes along with that.
Troy, do you think it's a good move that Senator Obama had the kids show their adorableness and then says no more, or should he use them relentlessly from a campaign perspective, quickly?
I think it was a good move. I think there are a lot of people that that claim they don't really know who Barack Obama is. I think this helps solidify him as a family man and understand, the people that are in his general space. But I understand his trepidation taken out of context, and I don't think anybody would want that to happen.
All right. Well, gentlemen, always good to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Clarence Page is a columnist for the Chicago Tribune, and he joined us from the NPR headquarters in Washington, D.C. Troy Johnson is a radio talk show host in Baltimore, Maryland, and he joined us from the studios at the Baltimore Sun.